You are listening to a message from First Baptist Church, Wichita Falls. For more information about First Baptist, click the link in the show notes or go to fbcwf.org.
Well, good morning. My name is Lewis Howard. I'm the pastor of education here at our church. Been here 13 years, and Brenda and I, we thoroughly enjoy it. I was also asked to oversee the 11 East service by Pastor Bob. I'm not sure if I oversee them or they oversee me, but I'm going to tell you what, that is an amazing service. Great people. Love being there. And so, Levany, if you're watching this, just a shout out to you guys. Next week, I'll be back and back in the service with you. All right. So, one day, I mustered the courage, the strength, to invite a beautiful young lady to go to lunch with me after church. Some of you are thinking, yeah, how'd that work out for you? Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad you asked. Number one, she must have been very hungry because she said yes, okay? But even greater than that, let me tell you this, that in less than 2 weeks, that beautiful young lady and myself will celebrate 50 years of marriage and our life. Thank you. And our life together started with a simple invitation. Just the act of reaching out with an invitation can change the trajectory of someone's life. Let me give you an example. Just a simple example. Some friend of yours invites you to a restaurant you've never been to before. You go there, and man, that meal was absolutely amazing. You're going to tell everybody about this restaurant. And that invitation to go to that restaurant did what? It made that restaurant your number one restaurant, your favorite restaurant. If anybody's going to ask you, what's your favorite restaurant? You'd give them the name of that restaurant, and it all happened because of a simple invitation. Somebody invites you to have coffee with them. You take them up on their invitation. And that invitation becomes the beginning of a lifelong friendship. Many times, life change begins with an invitation. This summer, Pastor Bob has been preaching, and others have been preaching through the book of Psalms. I'll just say this to you. If you missed last Sunday, you need to listen to Psalm 139. That's what he preached on last week. It was an amazing message. And if you listened to it, you were here, probably need to listen to it again. It was that good. It was just a great time. I've enjoyed walking through the Psalms with Pastor Bob and others. I want to tell you this, though, that Psalms, the book of Psalms, is packed full of invitations. Let me give you an example. Psalm 95 says this. It invites us to worship and to praise God, just exactly what we just got finished doing. Verses 1 and 2 says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise." Psalm 37 says this. It invites us to delight in the Lord. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you what? The desires of your heart. You know that. That's Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 46 tells us this. He invites us to seek God to be our refuge. Refuge is our safe place. Refuge is a place I could go and not fear. A refuge is a place I could go and feel totally secure. And so in verse 1 of Psalm 46, he says this, God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. My granddaughter said to her dad not too long ago, he says, sometimes I feel scared. He says, you do? He says, do you feel scared right now? She goes, oh, no, I don't feel scared now. He says, well, why don't you feel scared right now? She says, simply because you're big and you're strong and I'm not scared. So there you go. We serve a God who is our refuge. You know, God invites us. Our God is good and our God is gracious, and he invites us to have a relationship with him. He's not foreign. He's not aloof to us. In fact, he invites us to join him. He invites us into his presence. In James chapter 4, in verse 8, it says this: draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He invites us to be his vessel, his vessel. He wants us to be his hands that reach out and help to someone. He wants us to be his feet that puts us in the right place at the right time, right when someone needed that help right then. He wants us to be his words of encouragement to someone that needs comfort and needs help right then. God invites us to be a servant of his and to serve others. Galatians 5:13 says this: through love, serve one another. Now, some of you come here and you say, you know what? I walk in this church and there are people everywhere doing stuff. You're right, there is. They are serving everywhere. There's people in the parking lot. There's people pick you up sometimes in the parking lot. There's people open the doors for you. There's ushers when you come in here. There's people at the Welcome Center. There's people all over the place that are serving and working in life groups. It takes hundreds of people on a Sunday morning to make a Sunday morning work at this church. And they are dedicated and they're faithful. They're godly. They do a great job. And I'm going to tell you what, we can't open our doors without those people. But let me say this to you. I just don't think that God has said, all right, First Baptist Church, Wichita Falls, you guys now, you've arrived. You got all the people you need to serve. You got all the work I want you to do. You can just coast from here on out. I don't think that's true. I really believe that God has much more for us to do here at First Baptist Church, Wichita Falls. There's more people to reach. There's more life groups to start. There's more missions and campuses to start. There's more people around the globe that we can touch with the gospel. We here at First Baptist Church of Wichita Falls. What's one of the things that may hold us back from that? Serving. We need more people to step up and say, hey, you know what? I've been thinking about helping out in that area. I've been thinking about maybe stepping up and helping out in that area. Well, you know what? That's exactly what we need to move forward. We need more people to step up and say, here am I, send me. Here am I, I'll be glad to help. He said, well, what would I do? I see people everywhere. It seems like you got enough. You know what? There are these serve cards. There may be some in the back of your pew. I'm not sure. But they're all over this place. And on the back of that, it says, hey, here's areas where you can serve at. You can serve in preschool. Sarah will always say this: you want to get your baby fixed? Go to preschool. You can get a baby fixed right then. And some of you guys think, well, that's a woman's thing. We have several men who work in preschool, and I'm so glad that we got some men in there that help out in our preschool ministry, or our children's ministry, or our student ministry, middle school or high school, or our college ministry, women's ministry, men's ministry, media ministry. These guys here working the cameras here today, these are all volunteers. You got a homebound ministry that Randy oversees, the phenomenal job of that. You got local missions. We got foreign missions. We got this orchestra. We got the choir that's up here is leading us. All of these areas are areas of service. Our welcome center, our greeters, everything. And the list goes on and on and on. And what we're looking for are people who are willing to serve. Now, I want to say this to you. I'm going to give you this illustration. Someone come to me and asked me to do a funeral for their grandmother. This was at a different church. And I said, certainly, I'm glad to help you out. And so I sat down with the family and I said, hey, tell me about your mother, your grandmother, and so forth. And I was flabbergasted by what I heard. I was amazed at what I heard. I've never heard this before. This was a lady who was in probably our oldest ladies class at the church, okay? She'd been there and she was a group leader. What is a group leader? That's just someone who takes on four or five other people and they're going to help minister to them. They'll care for them. They'll encourage them. They'll send them cards on their birthday. Maybe they go to coffee or tea with them, whatever the case may be, just to be there for them. And she got cancer. And so it caused her to miss some, caused her to miss some Sundays, but then the cancer got worse and she became bedridden. She couldn't go to church, couldn't be a part of her life group every week on a Sunday morning. But here's what amazed me. This family was telling me that every Monday, this lady was calling the teacher of her life group. And she wanted to know who in her group was not there that past Sunday. Because here she was, laying in bed. She was writing them notes during the week and say, hey, we missed you in life group this past Sunday. And she kept on doing that. She kept on doing it until about a week before she died where she couldn't do it anymore. She couldn't be there herself. But she wanted those people who know that could be there to know that they were missed from being there on that Sunday. She said, man, don't take away my joy. Don't take away my joy from serving others. God's invitation to us is that he wants to use us to serve other people. In the New Testament, we find Jesus inviting people to follow him. In John chapter 1, verse 39, Jesus invited his first disciples, Andrew and an unnamed disciple. We don't know who he was. A lot of people speculate. The Bible doesn't tell us. But there was definitely Andrew and somebody else. And Jesus said simply to them, hey, come and see. In John 1, 43, he finds a man named Philip. He simply says to Philip, hey, Philip, I want you to follow me. In John 1, 45, Philip goes to find a friend of his named Nathanael. He says, hey, Nathanael, we found the one, we found the Messiah. In fact, in John 1, 45, he says this, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And then Nathanael smarts off and says, is there anything good that comes out of Nazareth? See, Nazareth was that city on the other side of the tracks. It was a city that really you didn't want to be from there. You don't want to hang out from those people. And Philip just turned around and said to him, listen, buddy, you just come and see. Let's back up to Andrew just for a second. The very first disciple that Jesus chose to follow him. You know what? We don't find anything else really about Andrew from him speaking to a mass amount of people. We don't know that he did. We don't have it in the Bible. We don't see anywhere in the Bible where Andrew performed a miracle. Maybe he did. We don't know, but it just wasn't recorded in the Bible. We don't believe that Andrew penned any of the books of the Bible. But what did Andrew do? Well, he found a little boy and he brought him to Jesus. He found a foreigner, some Greeks, and he brought them to Jesus. But he also found his brother Peter, invited him to Jesus. What did Peter do? Well, Peter preached to thousands. Peter healed. He did miracles. Peter wrote, penned a book of the Bible. See, we don't know what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus simply wants us to be obedient, to serve him and to follow him. Jesus wants us to know as Christ's followers that we all play a significant role in his mission and in his work. We had a young man to move in next to us one time in a different city. And he was a naval officer. He was a single dad raising his little girl. She's probably in kindergarten. Her name was Lindsay. And he moved in next door to us. He was a great neighbor. He was a really good guy, except for maybe one thing. He was far from God. One day he got orders that he was going to be deployed out to sea for 3 months. So he had contacted his family, he's contacted his friends, and through different circumstances, which he did not know, could not explain, really, no one that he knew could take care of his little girl. And so one day he comes to our house, knocks on our door. Hey, Rob, how you doing, man? Come on in. And so he asked Brenda and I if we would watch his little girl for the 3 months that he's out to sea. Well, certainly we said, sure, we'd be glad to do so. I mean, we said sure, not knowing what we were saying really sure about, because Brenda and I are boy parents. See, boys do this. You get them out of bed, okay? Go brush your teeth, comb your hair, put on clean clothes, then get in the car and we're going to school, we're going to church, wherever the case may be, okay? Girls, we found out, at least I found out, our boys found out, that was a little different. You get them out of bed and then you decorate them. I mean, there's bows and there's just, you know, all this coordination of clothes and shoes and colors and hair that had to be specifically done a certain way. And one day it's one way, another way, next day it's a different way because they didn't like it. And it's just on and on. And so it became a real treat for us to watch a little girl for 3 months. I will tell you this, that little girl saw the inside of a church more than she had in all her life. But you know the greatest thing about that? She absolutely loved it. At the end of 3 months, Dad comes back. And so she gets up on Sunday morning like she was accustomed to the last 3 months. And, hey, let's go to church. And Dad's got a headache from a hangover. And so he's not wild about getting up and going to church, but does sit on the couch, go in the living room and sit on the couch. Well, okay. So we're live on the NBC affiliate every Sunday morning. So Lindsay goes on, she flips on the TV. So for several weeks and several months, Rob has been watching our services, maybe not in the greatest state of mind, but yet still he was, and here's his daughter singing along with everybody on the TV and so forth, just having a good old time. There was a college student who came over to my house one day, and he knew we'd been praying for Rob. He knew that we had invited him to church several times and shared the gospel with him, and really what was visible to no avail, but still he knew Rob a little bit. And so, hey, I'm going to go see Rob for a while. So here, go ahead. And about 30, 45 minutes later, his name was Rodney. Rodney came back and said, well, Rob just prayed to receive Christ. I said, get out of here. He said, no, he really did. He's going to be church Sunday. I said, okay, we'll see. So sure enough, he comes to church Sunday. He sits with us. That Sunday evening, I was able to baptize that young man. Never missed church a day after that. There every Sunday. It changed his life forever. So what was it? It was a simple invitation coupled with prayer, kindness, the right persuasion that changed that young man's life and his family's life forever. On August 17th, we're going to have Go Big Sunday. And some of you are asking, what in the world is Go Big Sunday? Well, that's a good question. For some of us, it may be that, you know what, I need to step out and I need to find that place of service. I know God's been telling me to serve in that area and I've just been putting it off. You need to step up, go big, say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. For some of you, it may mean that there's that person that God has laid on your heart that you have been meaning to invite to come to church with you. And maybe circumstances here or there just didn't afford the opportunity. But you know what? You're going to take the initiative. You're going to be intentional. And we're going to say, you know what? I'm going to invite this couple. I'm going to invite this person to be with me on Go Big Sunday. That's what Go Big Sunday is all about. Well, I'll tell you what let's do. Let me give you another illustration about Go Big Sunday. Let's watch the screen on here. Okay? Go ahead, guys. All right. So somewhere between 80 and 85% said that they would come if a friend or a relative invited them to come to church. Guys, I want to tell you something. The odds are in our favor. Don't let Satan tell you that you can't do it. Just a simple invitation can change someone's life. When we invite someone, what we're saying to them is this, is that you are wanted and that you are valued. You know, some have been sitting in this worship service and you hear Pastor Bob and you hear others talk about the importance of and the value of being in life group. and you have great intentions of one day stepping out and getting into that and trying out a life group. But for some reason, you just haven't taken that step yet. Probably about 2 months ago, I was back in the back and a couple came to me and they said, hey, a friend of mine invited me to this life group. Can you tell me how to get to this life group? I said, I'll do better than that. I'll take you to the life group. And so I'm walking with them down the hallway just to kind of chit-chat and get to know them a little bit, you know, and I say, hey, is this your first time? Are you brand new to the First Baptist Church? Oh, no. We've been coming 7 years. You've been coming 7 years? It's, yeah, we just never been to life group. We've just been sitting in the worship service for 7 years until someone invited me, a friend invited me to go to this life group, so we thought we'd try it out. Well, man, I'm so glad that, you know, you decided to go to a life group. This is fantastic. And so I'll pass by this life group every so often on the Sunday morning. I'll look in there, and there's that couple. And they're still coming, and they love it, and they're enjoying it. And all it took was a simple invitation. You know, sometimes people stop going to life groups because of a life situation has caused them to have to step out. But this has been a while now, and you know you need to get back in a life group, so here's your invitation. We would love to have you back in a life group. When you came in today, guys, you got this card, and it lists all the life groups that we have on here. Man, Pastor Bob talks about the fact that we got life groups for every age, stage, and phase of life. He said, what in the world does that mean? Well, let me just explain to you. If you had preschoolers, if you were a young couple and you had preschoolers, then you would be in a life group where there were other parents of preschoolers. If you were someone who had teenagers, then you'd be in a class predominantly where most of the people in there had teenagers. Or maybe you're an empty nester, then hey, that's where I'd probably find most of the people in this life group. They'd be empty nesters. Or like most of the people sitting in this room, just to be honest with you. If you're up in life and so forth, then you're going to be in a life group with people who kind of up in life have done a lot of life, okay? But the reason for that is this, is we want to take God's word, as we teach God's word, and as we apply God's word, we want to apply it to you, your life, your situation, your age, stage, and phase of life of exactly where you're at. And that's why we set up these life groups like that. And so what I'm saying to you is this, that we don't have any closed life groups. What does that mean? In other words, I'm saying to you is this, they're not a bunch of cliques out there. They're not a group of people that, man, you're going to have a hard time breaking into. That's not going to happen. You're going to go to a life group, and you're going to find out that those people are welcoming, they're kind, they're glad you're here. Some of those life groups will probably invite you to have lunch with them as soon as the class is over, and maybe most of them will probably buy it. That's good. But everybody will invite you back to be a part of that life group. Some of you may want to be a part of a brand new life group. Now I'm going to give you an option. It will mean that you will have to change some things if you want to take this option, but I'll give you the option. I'm going to start a life group at 9:30. That means you would have to go to an 11 o'clock worship service. And since I oversee the 11 East service, hey, I'd invite you to come to the 11 East service, man. It's a great service. We have a good time in there. Now, I'm going to start a brand new life group, and we're going to take and we're going to explore what the Bible says about doing life with your adult children. Now, if there's somebody who's nailed that down and got it perfect, I want you to come co-teach with me, okay? Because, in other words, no, forget it. You just teach, I'll sit and I'll listen to you, okay? But anyway, we're going to open up God's Word. We're going to have a great time doing that. But that's a brand new life group, 9:30. We're going to start on August the 17th, and we'd love for you to come and join us. See, if you're not in a life group, the invitation is simply this. Come and see. Come and see. See, the Bible begins with creation, but I want you to know this. It ends with an invitation. In Revelation 22, 17, it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears, come. Let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." So what does this mean? Take the Spirit. The Spirit is the Spirit of God that lives inside and dwells inside of each and every born-again Christian. The bride is who? Oh, the bride is the church. It's like who we hear today. First Baptist Church, Wichita Falls. We have gathered together as a local New Testament church. So the Spirit and the bride. And the Spirit inside of us wants to use us to invite others to simply this, to come. A simple invitation for someone who needs it. Let the one who thirsts, he says, come. Thirst for what? Thirst for forgiveness. Thirst for restoration. Thirst for purpose. A desire maybe to know Christ, Jesus Christ personally. He says, come. Let the one who desires take the water of life freely. That simply means this, that our salvation, our restoration has already been paid for. Jesus paid it all. He gives us purpose and he gives us direction in life. The invite is extended to you. I say, I thought it was extended to all. It is. But you encompass the all. But I will tell you this. There is a limit. There is an expiration date on that invitation. The day you draw your last breath, that invitation is withdrawn. If you always thought, well, one day I'll make that decision or one day I'll do that, yeah, you can think that way. But the situation is you never know when that last day is. Do you know Jesus personally? If not, he is inviting you today to come. Do you know someone who needs to know Jesus? His word to us, go and invite.
You've been listening to a message from First Baptist Church, Wichita Falls. For more information about First Baptist, including gathering times and locations, click the link in the show notes or go to fbcwf.org. We'll see you next week.